Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Cool, but not as cold as it has been. 47 degrees right now if you average the temperatures throughout the area. And then looking ahead to the rest of the day, highs today about 75. Same for tomorrow and Friday. Saturday, a little bit warmer. Sunday, a little bit warmer still. Highs near 80 and 81. Hard to believe after a freeze the night before last. But that's the way it's going to be here in November. You know that. And then by Thursday of next week, they're saying a chance for showers and maybe a little reinforcing cool front, but not much. So you can look for highs in the mid-70s near 80 for the foreseeable future. Robert Hogan joins us now. Dr. Robert Hogan, professor and department chair of political science at LSU. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Let's talk about the government shutdown. First of all, where does it stand?
Well, it appears right now that the government is likely to open back up. The Senate on Monday evening voted to open the government. There were 8 Democratic senators who relented to the Republicans' demands that allowed a vote to occur by 60-40 vote over the filibuster threshold. And it's now up to the House of Representatives that is heading back into town right now. And there should be a vote later today by the House of Representatives. Mike Johnson has said that he expects for the House Republicans to be very supportive of this deal. Democrats have been very strident in their opposition to it. But if it passes, it does have Trump's backing. He said he supports it and wants to sign it. And generally these days for Republicans, whatever Trump wants, he gets with the Republican Party. So it seems very likely to pass, and the president will sign it, and this impasse will be over, and the government shutdown should end. So that's sort of where we are right now.
What did the Democrats gain from all of this?
Yeah, that's a question that a lot of them are asking, a lot of political observers are asking. I mean, some people say that the Democrats gained nothing. They had wanted an extension of the ACA subsidies. They did not get that at all. The only thing they got from the Senate leader, Mr. Thune, is an assurance that it would be brought up for a vote sometime in December. And in order to pass, it would need to get 60 votes. And it's very unlikely that any Republicans would support this. So you could say the Democrats came up with nothing. From another perspective, a lot of Democrats are saying that, well, you know, people, the Democratic activists especially, wanted Democrats to fight the president and to show that they cared about an issue that is something that affects the American people, and that are rising health care costs. Affordability is an issue that resonates with the American public right now, as seen in last week's elections, and this was a way for them to highlight that issue. In fact, I think to show that this is resonating, you've seen Trump himself come up with his own plan, taking a plan out of bags, and no one's really clear about what it is, to address affordability of healthcare. So you know, it's something that resonates, I think, with their base, and they're hoping that it resonates with the American public and may have an effect on next year's midterm election.
Yeah, because he said rather than give it to, and I'm paraphrasing here, rather than give it to greedy insurance companies, he wanted to give it to individuals, but the individuals mm-hmm. would be getting
buy insurance.
Taxpayers' money to buy insurance from the greedy insurance companies, right?
Right. It's not very clear at all about, this is often the way policies are created and sort of evolve from the Trump administration. Trump has an idea, and later on some meat gets put on the bone, so to speak, and something comes of it. This has been an effective way for Trump to certainly have an effect on the policy agenda, the sort of issues that we're talking about. So we'll just have to see what happens with that. But it does demonstrate, I think, that this hit a chord with the American public. The other thing that it did for the Democrats in terms of a positive way for their side is that it brought out in the open what the Trump administration was willing to do with regard to SNAP benefits. The Trump administration went time and time again to courts trying to get the courts to agree with them so that they would not have to pay SNAP benefits during this government shutdown. And again, I think that is something the Democrats want to highlight to their base of support and to independent voters as well, demonstrating that when the stakes are high, the Trump administration is not on the side of the American people. At least that's the way they're trying to spin it. So we'll have to see how this plays out. It's a very long way to November of next year, and who knows what the issues will be that people will be talking about. It's probably unlikely that people will remember a lot of what's going on now. But what is important right now for the midterm elections are candidates who are thinking of running for office. And there are a lot of candidates across the country right now, potential candidates, thinking of throwing their hat in the ring. And if they view this as an election, the 2026 election is one in which Democrats may have an upper hand. You may see more quality candidates with experience and potential good financial backing to run, to be good candidates. And so you may have this may be affecting the candidate pool of people who are going to run.
Yeah, that was my next question about what can we infer from the elections. But that's interesting that mm-hmm. it could be a positive thing for potential Democrats, because we hear about, you know, the bench not being very deep, that perhaps this could mm-hmm. surface some people that would be willing to run and think they have a chance that otherwise would not have.
Exactly. But of course, you know, in this polarized environment that we have, I mean, generally when you have a midterm election like this after a presidential election in 2024, in which Trump did very well, extraordinarily well, in sweeping the swing states, and he came in with some coattails to some extent, and, you know, the Republican Party holds both chambers of the Congress, that sort of in a high turnout election, you expect in the midterms, just in general, there is less enthusiasm because the person at the top of the ticket, Trump, is not going to be on the ticket. A lot of people are not going to turn out to vote who supported him. And so there's a slump for the party that won all that initially in the midterms. So we would expect for there to be, you know, Republicans not doing as well in the upcoming midterm elections.
All right, let me take a break, Professor. We'll pick it up right there when we come back. 6:21, time for traffic, WWL. 6:26, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about the government shutdown and who's going to eat the blame for it with Dr. Robert Hogan, Professor, Department Chair of Political Science at LSU. Professor, I hated to interrupt you, but time and traffic and tide wait for no man. So what were you saying? I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. No, I was just saying that, I mean, the midterms are shaping up to, I mean, in general, midterm elections for the president's party generally are not favorable to them. And so, you know, the Republicans hold just a slim majority in the House of Representatives and not a very good majority in the Senate. And so I think the general expectation is that the Republicans, you know, in this, you know, given these circumstances, have the potential to lose seats and to lose the House of Representatives. And because of that, however, I think the Trump administration, what's motivating their, redistricting efforts across the country, this redistricting war that's sweeping the country, starting with Texas, Trump convincing Texas to redistrict in the middle of redistricting, at a time they don't normally redistrict. Normally you do this after each census, but they did it. They're doing it in the middle of this cycle, and they withdrew districts that they hope will win them five extra congressional seats in Texas, and of course that spurred California and Gavin Newsom to redistrict in California, and that was one of the big wins for Democrats last Tuesday night. Was California deciding to set aside the redistricting commission, the nonpartisan redistricting commission, and allowing the state legislature to redistrict in a partisan way, hoping that they will get five extra seats. So this is sort of sweeping the country right now, and Republicans initiated this. Trump initiated this. As a way of hoping to forestall the typical sort of pattern that we see in midterm elections, where the president's party loses seats in the House of Representatives. But it also comes down to how the economy is going to go, and the gamble that the Trump people have made is with tariffs and other sort of things. They're hoping that the economy will not be sputtering this time next year, but will be zooming. And that is something that's usually very important in voters' minds. Also, of course, the popularity of the president, which is oftentimes a result of how the economy is going. So I guess all this was to say that there are a lot of variables out there. The conditions just generally don't favor the Republicans in next year's elections, although the major caveat is the redistricting battle that is ongoing in the country. Whoever wins that battle probably has an upper hand in the 2026 elections.
One constant is the president is not going to change. He is who he is. I don't think he's ever going to lose his 38%. So
right.
What part of the electorate changes then? It's the part that's not his 38% that will then vote based on the economy or whomever the Republican mm-hmm. nominee happens to be?
Yeah, it's voters who are sort of in the middle. We call them independent voters, voters who don't like either major party, but who base their votes not on partisan affiliation, but on just how things are going in the country. And if things are going well, they're going to go with the president's party. If things aren't, they're not. So a lot of it comes down to those people who are not as caught up in the day-to-day politics that so many others of us are.
Yeah, I know some people that were just watching the elections last week as though it were the Super Bowl, and I'm thinking, it's not even the midterms. Can you take a breath?
A form of entertainment.
It is. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Dr. Robert Hogan, Professor and Department Chair of Political Science at LSU. We'll talk about the air traffic controller shortage when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Melanie Dickman, a lecturer at the Center for Aviation Studies at The Ohio State University, a three-time graduate from The Ohio State University. Good morning, Melanie. How are you?
I'm great this morning. How are you?
I'm well. Is it Dr. Dickman or is it?
It is not. You can just call me Melanie.
All right, Melanie. Let me ask you this. You're a three-time graduate of The Ohio State University?
I sure am.
I would think you'd know the words of the fight song then?
Yeah.
Can I hear a little bitty bit of it, please? Just a little bitty bit.
Oh, gosh. Not in public.
Okay. All right. Just thought I'd ask. Let's talk about air traffic controllers. You are.
Yeah, it's always worth an ask.
You are, huh?
It is always worth an ask.
Yeah, you never know. You never know what people are going to do. Tell me about what the situation is with air traffic controllers in the country.
Oh, gosh. Do you have a few hours?
I do. Absolutely. I'll clear the schedule till 10 o'clock if you like, Melanie, for you. But at the end of it, you're going to have to sing the fight song.
Oh, yeah. Then I won't take up all your time.
Okay.
So we'll just keep it to the allotted time set.
All right. Tell me seriously what's going on with air traffic controllers.
There is a lot going on with air traffic controllers right now. Gosh, so where do you want me to start? with
well,
that.
Well, let's talk about the current situation and the government shutdown and work back from there.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, the government shutdown is definitely impacting them so much. As you know, it's air traffic control is one of the most high-stress jobs that you can possibly have. And they're responsible for so many lives. They're responsible for keeping everybody safe in the skies. And right now, they're showing up and not getting paid to do that. So they're looking at their third missed paycheck right now of just $0. So they get the pay stub and everything, and it just says zero. And they're expected right now to be keeping track of their own hours that they worked. And eventually, they're supposed to get back pay, but it's not going to be immediate, unfortunately. So these controllers still have bills to pay. Back pay really doesn't help pay the mortgage. It doesn't pay off the credit cards. And then when you're looking at, hey, there's a big lag in between when you're working and when you're getting paid, you're still going to have to be responsible for the interest on that you're missing. So inevitably, they're going to come out behind.
If an air traffic controller were, and you know, you train these people and so forth, and you lecture in this, if they were to leave to get another job, what would they do? What would be a good fit for an air traffic controller?
There are actually a lot of them doing just that. So they normally see, on just an average year, they're going to see about 4 or 5 retirements a day. And that's just when controllers hit. Yeah, that's just when they're hitting the mandatory retirement age.
Which is?
So you think there's 56.
Okay. And that's because of, let me interrupt for a second, if I may, Ken, Melanie. And
sure.
That's because they feel as though at 56, people lose the cognitive function that they need to be an effective air traffic controller, or because of time on the job? Tell me where that number came from.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a lot of different things. The original studies were saying that, yes, you do lose some of the reaction time, the cognitive abilities. It's just difficult to do the job. But honestly, also, most of the controllers are ready to retire at that point anyway. Mm-hmm. It's the job itself is so intense. And so they're ready. So you've got that mandatory age that you've got to be out. Now, some of them go into consulting. Some of them go back into management of some sort. So they're not really retiring. They're just retiring from being on position.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't really help the workforce who has to work the traffic. And then you have people who have put in their 30 years or so and said, you know what, I'm ready to retire, I'm eligible, and I'm going to go. But so you've got those two groups, but now you have a third and fourth group who that third group is these mid-level career air traffic controllers who are saying, you know what, pay has been an issue for a while now. Our raises have not even remotely kept up with inflation, and I can go get paid somewhere else for fewer hours, a better quality of life. I'm going to be able to go see my kids and their dance recitals and their soccer games. And I'm not going to have to work these 60-hour weeks. You know, they're working 10 hours a day, 6 days a week.
This is normally or with the government? Normally or with the government shutdown?
Oh, no, this is normal.
Let me take a break. I want to pick it up right there. I want to talk about hours, quality of life, and what kind of remuneration they get, because a lot of people think, I believe, that air traffic.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Traffic control is independently wealthy, and I don't think that's the case at all. We're talking to Melanie Dickman.
That's absolutely not the case.
All right, we'll pick it up when we come back. Lecture at the Center for Aviation Studies at The Ohio State University, 650, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. When was the last time you had your air conditioning ducts cleaned? If, like me, the house was built in 1993, I'm guessing the answer is never. I have never had mine clean, and the people from Gulf State Services are going to come out next week and clean them for me, take some pictures first and show me what's in there, and I'm sure I'm going to be disgusted. If you could see what's in there, layers of dust, mold, dead bugs, maybe even some rodent droppings, you would be disgusted as well. And we're breathing that in every day, even while we eat and sleep, and it can make us feel tired and run down, and we blame it on allergies, but maybe it's because we got filthy ducts. Your air ducts and whole air conditioning system should be cleaned out every 3 to 5 years. But again, if you're like me, the answer is never. It's never been cleaned out. You're breathing all that stuff in every day, so if you or your family members are always finding yourselves feeling run down or sick, or maybe every time the air comes on you don't feel right, why don't you call Gulf States Services? Locally owned, the number one trusted name in duct cleaning, mold remediation, and water damage restoration from Louisiana to the Florida Panhandle. Call Marcus. You're going to like doing business with them. Locally owned, locally operated, a family business. Gulf States Services LLC.com. That's the website. You can go to 504-944, or call them rather at 504-944-3003. Gulf States Services Group LLC, professional duct cleaning and mold removal for a safer, healthier home. Call Marcus. You can love doing business with them. Gulf States Services LLC.com, or call 504-944-3003. Right, well, you don't have to sing it, but we'll play it for you, the Ohio State University fight song. Melanie Dickman, our guest, lecturer at the Center for Aviation Studies at The Ohio State University. We're talking about the life of an air traffic controller, quality of life, how much they get paid, the hours, et cetera. What is that like, Melanie, for people that, A, either are thinking about going into it, or B, might have a misconception about what it's really like?
So, yeah, that's a really great question. The controllers I know, and it's really important for people to understand that out of all of the controllers I've spoken to, my dad was one of them, my husband's one of them, they love their job. They love what they do. They're professionals. They got into it for a reason. So they really, really want to do a good job, and they really need to get paid to do this job. But they are really chronically understaffed, so that just really becomes an issue.
And what kind of hours are they working? What kind of money are they making?
So it really depends on the facility. So the busier the facility, the higher the level, it goes up to a level 12. Those are the controllers getting paid the most. The problem with how this is structured right now is that they're also some of the more expensive areas to live in. So, for example, I was talking to one controller this morning, and this controller was mentioning how they can't even afford to live in the city that they're controlling in. Mm. So this particular controller commutes 50 miles one way to go work, and then coming back, and, you know, obviously another 50 miles, the median home price in this area, if this controller were to go to work or have to, you know, live in where they work, is median home price is like $800,000 for a house. Mm. This controller is making about $115,000 gross,
which is not, I don't know, for people making $30,000 a year, that seems like a lot of money, but really it isn't. When it comes to a long shift, a 50-mile drive, mm-hmm. you said? A long shift and then a 50-mile drive home. Boy, that's tough.
Right, and then filling up their tank with gas, it's over $4 a gallon. So these really, really aren't wealthy people.
Scale of 1 to 10, now, how concerned are you about the future of air traffic controllers?
I'm fairly concerned. I mean, each time something like this happens, we just lose so many more controllers.
Wow.
So when I was saying that on a regular day, we're getting about five retirements a day, just regular retirements. But now we're seeing the people who are, like I said, they've been in it for about 10 years, and they're saying, to hell with this, I can do something else.
Tipping point. Thank you. I appreciate your time as always. Melanie Dickman, we'll take a break, come back, talk about, is it better to rent or buy a home?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to health care that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.